Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day with Fred Landry and Lopez, presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
You guys know what time it is. It's time for the HITS. Eagles quarterback Nick Foles left yesterday's preseason game against New England with an injury. Apparently, it's a shoulder injury. They're calling a strained shoulder, as well as I guess there was a plethora of helmet calls as far as guys laying their heads. And, you know, it's been kind of 50-50, right? I mean, I've seen some games where guys have laid just perfect tackles. The one guy from the Texans, Keys, who laid absolute shot. I'll tell you what, I saw a couple of plays last night where a guy laid into his shoulder. Are we making too much out of it, or is it just one of them deals where guys just have to kind of... I mean, I feel like guys are already starting to make the changes, right?
You know, guys are making the changes, but there's only so much you can do.
Right.
At the same time, as a defender, you're protecting yourself. I can't just catch tackle every single time and get ran over.
Right.
I mean, that's not good for, you know, your grade from your coach. They're going to be like, come on, missed tackle, ran over. But at the same time, guys... They're doing their best to apply with the rules, but I think it's slowing down the game. I mean, for every time you have to second guess, am I going to hit this guy square up? Do I have to lean to one side? Do I have to lean to another? It's too much indecision when things are happening at split-second speed.
If a high school coach came up to you right now and said, explain the NFL tackle rule, could you?
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I would just say low. That's your best bet.
Which players don't want you going low.
Exactly.
They would rather you tackle them high.
We're a brotherhood, so you don't want to, you know, guys like Gronk taking out their knees and so forth. So you want to hit them up in the shoulder area so you can get them on the ground.
But then your head is...
But then not only is it a 15-yard penalty, now you're looking at fines every game.
How would this rule have affected your game?
Oh, man. I mean, that's all I did was knock people out. So I would either be on the bench because I'd get too many penalties. Or, you know, I would just, you know.
Be broke.
Yeah,
broke. From
all them fines. Exactly. Coach, I'm on the bench. I'm going to sit this one
bench
out.
Bench myself because I'm tired of paying y'all bastards. Yeah. New England beat Philadelphia. They ended up winning the game 37-20. TB12.
Ageless wonder.
I want whatever he's got.
Man, I
got to go to Germany.
You got to start eating berries and
you trust his guy?
I trust. Are you serious?
Alex Guerrero.
Look at his performance.
But come on, James. Listen, we're all friends here.
He has not. I mean, I look like I'm watching the 07 Tom Brady.
Do you think it's above board? Do you think what he's doing is above board?
Of course. Without a doubt.
What'd
you say? He has a cure to cancer?
I mean, Alex Guerrero is like one step above that Justin Trudeau dude who's been taken off television because he was selling stuff, okay? Hey. Like, this guy's making it sound like I can go get whatever he's at Vitamin Shop.
Bottom line, Belichick was saying, okay, we want to keep winning. Alex, you have free course throughout the building. Do whatever you want.
You think that was him or you think that was Robert Kraft that said that?
Somebody.
Hey,
you want Brady to perform? Yeah. I need to be there.
And so. Brady might have said it. You know, this is my guy. This is how I feel. This is how I get right.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
I mean,
yeah, well,
come on. You see last night?
Julian Edelman might have something to say different about that. Bro. But anyway. How come I get with your boy and all of a sudden I'm out four games? I want whatever Tom's taking. Green Bay tops Pittsburgh 51-34. Jimmy Graham. Big year for him?
Man, big year. I'm picking him up in fantasy.
Got to, right?
Sure.
Yeah?
For sure.
Him and Aaron are going to ball.
I mean, I'm looking at maybe 15 touchdowns this year.
Let me ask you this. Oh, that's a ballsy number.
Wow.
Right?
Who they have Adams? And I'm not really a big fan of Randall Cobb. I mean, I think
he's kind of died off, right?
He's kind of died off. But Aaron Rodgers loves his tight ends.
He does.
He loves them.
He does. I've heard off the field as well. real quick about that. A new GM.
It's just kicking in.
Crossing so many lines.
Do new GMs make that big of a difference? Because we've seen it in Houston, all right, between B.O.B. and Brian Gain. I think we've seen it a little bit over in Cleveland with John Dorsey.
Detroit.
And then I'm wondering in Detroit as well. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's year two, but he got his guy finally with Patricia. And then you've got this Brian Gutekis guy or whatever in Green Bay who decided he was going to go. You know, Ted Thompson was like, oh, we don't get free agents. He says, the hell with y'all. Ships off Jordy Nelson, picks up Jimmy Graham. Do players sense when a new GM and a coach are in lockstep?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you can anticipate the moves the team's going to make.
Okay.
You know, when you know.
Good or bad.
Good or bad. Right. You know, hey, this guy isn't performing well. That GM has no patience for it.
Okay.
And then on the other end, in terms of free agency, like you said, we know, hey, we're going to make moves in free agency to better our team,
yeah,
whether it's through the draft or free agency.
Right.
And so, I mean, of course.
Okay.
GMs, yeah.
Okay. Last but certainly not least, Washington tops the Jets 15-13. Teddy Bridgewater 10-15 for 127 yards. We're all convinced he's going to end up somewhere else. Sam Darnold, though, I think is the story there, just for the sense of, A, and John and I talked about this, not enamored with. I mean, listen, obviously, you're
good
three,
the first
four
week.
Pick.
Okay, yesterday.
But I feel like this dude is going to be a better pro quarterback than he was a college quarterback. What? How does that happen?
I don't know if it's the talent level, the coaching, the system that you're in,
the style,
mm-hmm, you know, confidence. Mm-hmm. All those things play a role in being a good quarterback. I mean, you know,
what do you think? Would you agree with that? He's gonna be good.
I don't know. It's so hard for a multiple, you know, four or five first round quarterbacks to all have good careers.
They're not.
It just doesn't happen.
The math says they will not all be successful.
Something has to give.
2004, though. 2004. Eli, Ben, and Phillip. Phillip.
Again, that's 14 years ago.
Best rookie quarterback you ever played against?
Wow.
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a good question. Jeez. Best rookie?
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Who's somebody that jumps off top that you remember right now? You're like, damn, this dude can't be a rookie.
Man. Cam Newton. He was lights out, you know.
Part of it just because he's a freak of nature,
big, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever play against Kelvin Benjamin, by the way?
I did before he got fat.
Because we were talking about that the other day, you know, we know Cam's big, but that video of the two of them talking.
He's huge.
Dude!
Yeah. Yeah.
Are receivers supposed to be that big?
Yeah. But, I mean, I say, before he got fat, he was a better receiver, I think, when he was, you know, slim,
right,
you know, early on in his career. You know, there's that one off season he put on 50 pounds. He's kind of working his way down from it. But, you know, the name of the game is speed. He still did his thing against Buffalo, but still, right.
How the hell do you put on 50 pounds?
I know.
At receiver.
How does that happen? Yeah. Could you do that? Could you put on 50 pounds
not
that quickly?
Just not caring.
Yeah. What was your play weight?
215.
What are you at right now?
220.
Okay, so you can suit up if you had to, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, didn't you see him in the flag football league with that pick on the side?
Yeah, I saw him. I saw him. All right. Yeah.
Okay, we'll blow the dust off a little bit.
All right, we're gonna razz him about that here in just a little bit. Next one, San Diego Chargers. Phillip Rivers is the latest quarterback to respond to the Jalen Ramsey Monday morning quarterbacking critique.
Yeah, shoot, I guess I've made it. If he says I'm pretty good, I didn't know he was doing this. Is ESPN top 30. Shoot, Sando's in trouble.
I like that. I like the way he handled it.
Okay, so that's Phillip Rivers, now his 2004 draft classmate, Eli Manning, on his response to Jalen Ramsey.
You made a comment that at this point in your career, you're only a good quarterback because of your connection with Odell Beckham. Do you have any comment on that or any retort?
No. Who?
Who?
Oh, man.
That's Eli.
How would you – okay, both sides of this.
Yeah.
From Jalen Ramsey's perspective, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I love it. I love the energy that he's bringing to the game, the personality.
Yeah.
It's kind of that, you know, Deion Sanders sense where he's going to back it up on the football field, but he's taking – hey, take notice. This is what I'm saying about you.
He's not wrong.
And he's not wrong. He's just being honest.
He's not wrong.
He's pretty spot on about both guys.
Yeah. And he faces him. He has to study film and watch him. So he's watching tendencies. He's watching what guys that he actually feels threatened about, you know, on the field. And other guys where he's like, man, I wish I could play this guy 16 games in a season.
Now, what about from the quarterback, from the player who's being talked about?
Guys' feelings are hurt.
Right?
Yeah, flat out, guys' feelings are hurt.
Well, it's part of it, too, because a lot of people are putting a lot of stock into what he's saying.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people are like, oh, he's not wrong. So, yeah, there's certainly something to be said for that. Real quick, last but certainly not least. a little baseball for that ass. Astros begin a road trip tonight in Oakland. Listen, this is game-changing stuff right now. They have a two-game lead over the Oakland Athletics in the AL West. Charlie Morton's on the mound tonight. George Springer back in the lineup. We're hoping that Jose Altuve will be back sooner rather than later. You've played in the Coliseum, obviously, as a football player. Is it as big a dump as we've heard?
Man, it is god-awful.
How bad?
Like, literally, it's, you know, half grass, half dirt.
Ugh.
So you're trying to break. First off, as a DB, you're trying to break out of your back pedal, and you're slipping, sliding all over the place. You got cuts and rocks in your elbows, and it's a dump.
But the Raiders were garbage by the time, but when you played them there, though, right?
Yeah, they were bad. But then, not to mention, so their locker room, their visiting locker room, mm-hmm. is literally a closet. So you have two and a half guys to each locker. And
seriously?
Like, hey, so guys literally have to get dressed in the hallway.
It's that bad.
It's
over
that
there.
Bad.
I mean, I've seen that. So, did you play at NRG?
Yeah, you played here. Yeah.
Okay, so I've seen the
opposing. You played on that Sunday night game?
No, when I was on the Ravens, we played. We got whooped.
Oh, really? That was the only time they got whooped. Here.
43 to like 10 or something.
Yeah, because I've seen the visiting team locker room at NRG, so it's even smaller than that. Because
it's a closet. It's tiny.
It's that small. It's like half the size of that.
It is like an old high school or middle school locker room.
Oh, is that bad?
It's bad.
No wonder they're going to Vegas.
Hey, we were one more hit. Actually, I got because we were talking about it off air. It's just amazing to me. It's you know, talking about Deshaun Watson, and that's a hit, obviously.
Yeah,
we were talking about how outside the Texans locker room, outside the Texans circle of fans and media, guys are raving just as much about him right now off of 6 starts.
It's the it factor. I really think so, because you got to look at it from a defensive perspective. You're going against so many different quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and you see kind of similar makeup, you know. It might not be just the overall skill set,
right.
But it's that thing that you see and it intimidates you. Like, man, this guy is he has something special.
So,
and
like the Deshaun two best cornerbacks, that. Past and present, Richard Sherman and Jalen Ramsey, are saying this guy's an MVP.
Yeah, I think he is. With what he can do with his legs, mm-hmm. and his mindset to throw first, run second, mm-hmm. he's gonna. The sky's the limit for him.
Well, and I know we had Jarrod Johnson on yesterday, and one of the things that he said he was super impressed by is the fact that he's just so calm in the pocket. Mm-hmm. Like, that dude just doesn't get fazed. I mean, he's got bodies falling all over him. In fact, there's a picture on Texans, HoustonTexans.com, where he's got his lineman literally falling into his leg. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't know. I mean, he literally, that dude's, you know, as the late Stuart Scott would say, cool breeze. The other side of the pillow,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, cool breeze. That's him.
All right, so when you look at this Texans, and okay, you're a defensive back, so let's get right down to it. All right, so you've got a Kevin Johnson, who we've talked at ad nauseum about here on this on this show in particular. And, you know, we've talked to Stanford Rout about it. I mean, we've gotten all kinds of thoughts. I'm curious to get yours. Good first year, injury-plagued years 2 and years 3, all right? And so he's already had his fifth-year option picked up, so that tells you all you need to know about where the – of course, was Brian Gain a part of that group that picked up his fifth-year option?
Yes.
Okay, so Brian Gain comes in. One of the first things he did was pick up his fifth-year option. But, dude, he's not a big guy, all right? I mean, right off the jump. But he, to me, you know, listen, he's shown he's been able to do it before. From a secondary standpoint, all right, how do you get your mojo back?
You got to get confidence. I think his biggest thing was he was trying to play bigger than he was. So mm-hmm. he was trying to be a physical, hard-hitting corner. And that's not your skill set.
That guy.
You know, you got to live to play another down, buddy. You have to. So, you know, we said it all the time in the NFL. Hey, I don't get paid to tackle. If you're a corner and you're scrawny, you better get one of these big guys. I'll shoe him. I'll keep my leverage.
funnel
them to you. But you big guys make those tackles. I'll cover guys. And so he has to understand that mindset of it. And then I think, you know, having Matthew and a leader in that secondary, guys like that are playmakers, they bring the best out of the guys around them. They raise the expectation level. So, I mean, I'm excited to see, you know, come Saturday, you know, tomorrow, how he looks.
A lot of times, first-round picks, it's sometimes obvious that they can't play immediately, but they get to linger around for 4 years. As a former player, like, when a first-round pick, it was obvious he couldn't play, but the franchise kept giving him chance after chance after chance. How do you handle that in the locker room?
I hate to say it, but it's, why do we get this guy? Because most of the time, as a first-round pick, whether it's if I'm a safety mm-hmm. and we draft a first-round pick, you know, I was in Baltimore. They drafted Matt Elam, and I was like, okay, well, this guy's going to play. He has to. And when you get to that level, and you're a dud, you're not good. I mean, it the guys can't help but talk about it.
Yeah.
It's why is he here? If he's supposed to be an impact player and he isn't, man, look at all the other guys behind him that we could have got that we didn't.
And people
that
often
our team.
Don't understand how much politics is involved. Politics is involved in, because those guys want their draft choices to be on the yeah. squad and to play. And there are a lot of times where, whether it's Braxton Miller
yeah.
or Tyler Irvin yeah. or whomever, where they might have been cut if they were just drafted two rounds later or an off-the-street guy.
Yep, and that's a fact of it. It's they fall in love. You know, management will fall in love with a guy going through the process of, you know, mm-hmm. the combine and all of that. And they say, hey, they're stuck on a guy. And yeah. they say, we want him no matter what. And when it doesn't pan out, you have to know when to cut your ties. I mean, Eric Ebron, he's a good he's one of my, you know, close friends when I was in Detroit. And, mm-hmm. You know, the Lions looked at it and said financially, he hasn't done enough to what we expected as a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Right.
So, we're going to go different ways.
Yeah.
At some point, you have to make that decision, which is a tough one in management, and saying mm-hmm. it's not working
out. Because it makes
you
look bad.
Because it makes you look bad. And the more mm-hmm. more he hangs around, that's more of a reminder to everybody, hey, we missed on
you
this
missed
guy.
On this guy yeah. big time. So, were you in Baltimore when they picked up the linebacker from K-State in the second round? Was it Arthur Brown or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I was there.
And
yeah.
what, I mean, we, I, there's another guy.
That's in the back of my mind. That's a perfect
there's
example.
There's another guy, right? Where, like, that y'all moved up to go yeah, get him, and yeah. he was a abject failure in the NFL.
Just, he was a slow learner. Mm-hmm. I mean, athletic is all get out.
Right?
You know, he could run, jump with the best of them. But, I mean, you asked him what 4x4 was, you might get a different answer, you know, every time. So it was one of those things where he couldn't take what was being taught on the board in the classroom and apply it to the field. At that point, it doesn't matter how athletic you are or where you were drafted. It's just not going to work out.
Yeah.
So he was one of those guys where they stuck him on special teams and said, hey, you know, this is where you're going to earn your
thing.
Yeah,
at least for a couple of years.
For a couple years until we can, you know, work this thing out.
Move on.
And it never worked out. God, I'll tell you what. Because he was a monster in college.
Yeah.
Homeboy was a monster in college. Ultimately, what it comes down to this, all right, real quick, because we were up against it. What's the one thing, no matter what, when you look at it in your 10 years in the NFL, guys, you know, and you've seen them all come through, especially during this time of year, what ultimately, because I've listened to Hard Knocks last night, and they're like, listen, everybody's talented in this room, right? Everybody's talented. Talent, we're all, that ain't got nothing to do with it. What gets guys through the NFL?
Consistency.
Listen to Sports Radio 610.
Oh, well, that helps too. Well, that too. That doesn't hurt. I like where you're going with that, Landry.
Yeah, but consistency. You know, we had a saying in our room, be the same guy every day.
Yeah.
If you can't catch a lick, drop every ball so we know what we're going to get each day. Don't show up one day catching one-handers in the back of the end zone.
Great.
And then the next day, you're dropping easy interceptions. If you can't catch, hey, we'll tell you. Tip it up. I'll catch it. You know? Be the same guy every
That's
day.
That's awesome.
And, you know, it's one of those things. You got to be the same guy. Be consistent.
All right. So now you're on tomorrow from when to when?
We're on from 2 to 4.
Two to four. Right. So you're the pre-party to the pre-party.
Pre-game to pre-game.
That's what I'm talking about. Jane's ahead about 10-year NFL veteran right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Real quick, who you got winning tomorrow? I mean, not that it cares. Yeah. Does it matter?
I just want to see the Texans' defense. I want to see them go out and dominate. Because, you know, offense, it's one of those things, hey, if they do well, it's a preseason. If they do bad, it's a preseason.
Mm-hmm.
But defense, you're not scheming. You're just flat out going out there and playing. Play well.
Should we be worried? Real quick. I mean, I know I'm running late, but real quick. Jadeveon Clowney, we haven't seen him yet. Is there
cause
for concern?
It's the preseason. No concern.
You ain't worried about
it? Even though he hadn't gone any 11-on-1?
I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
Show up on Sunday and ball out.
Boom! There you go, Jay. Right. Listen, John McClain saying it's one thing. James Ahedebo saying something totally different. We love you, John. No disrespect. James Ahedebo, everybody. What's your Twitter handle?
James E. Hedibo, IHEDIGBO, and follow me on Instagram, Diggs32.
Diggs30. See, I like that. Diggs, I can wrap my, much like Arthur Brown, I can wrap my brain around Diggs32. There you have it. James Hedibo, everybody. Make sure you follow him on Instagram. Do it now. That's Landry Locker. I'm Fred Davis. That's our boy, John Lopez. And don't forget about our boy, Figgy Fig. When we come back, reset a little bit about what we expect to see out of this Houston Texans team tomorrow. Lots to get to. Glad to have you on board. This is In the Loop on a Friday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.